Romans chapter 8, we will read one of the most loved and quoted verses in the Bible, and then read another verse that is ignored almost the most in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we do give You praise this morning, because of You, an awesome God. You, holy God. You, who have initiated by Your grace our salvation. And who have conformed us, Lord, into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our soul, our heart, our spirit cries out to You. The life giver. By Your grace and mercy. And God, I pray, I ask that You'll speak through me. I'm nothing without You. Lord, that this church will be edified, will be built upon this morning. But Lord, we know that only You can do that too. So Lord, we cry out before You, and we worship You, and we praise You, and we adore You, O holy God. And may this worship, Lord, be an overflow this week for the praise of Your glory. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a very well-loved verse of Scripture. And verse 29 is not so well-loved in verse 30. Many preachers ignore these verses, and many teachers do not teach these verses and just kind of leave it up to whatever you want to believe. But these scriptures are very important. They are very rooted and grounded in Southern Baptist life and in Baptist life throughout history. And we as Baptists believe that God calls us and saves us by His grace. And He holds us eternally secure. God does it. And that's what our faith is based upon. And that is Christianity. And it says this is for those who are called in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus. And it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Isn't that a loving verse that can help us through the good days and bad days of life, through the floods of life and the droughts of life? We know that in God's sovereignty, that all things, He is working good in our lives because of His sovereignty. God is working good, and we know this, we know for sure, and this word means it's a past experience. We know because of the experiences we have God has brought us through, we know that whatever comes ahead, God is working good in our lives, no matter what happens. I read a story about a little girl riding her bicycle, and she was riding it through the yard, and she hit her head on a low-hanging branch on a tree, and put a little knot on her forehead, and she runs into the house, and says, "Mama, Mama, Joey hurt me," and pointed to her head. Well, Mama looks at her and says, "Well, how did Joey hurt you? Joey's been with your daddy for 2 hours. They went to the store. Joey's not even here." And with amazement in her eyes and a puzzled look as she talked, she said, "You mean things like this happen on their own? They just happen?" So as we read and believe all things work together for good. Let us not forget the context of what it's written in. The context is, there's therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. And in the latter part of this great chapter, Romans chapter 8, let's read some of it. Look with me in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall tribulation, should persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword, it says in verse 35, none of these things will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So the context is, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. So the context is, even in whatever may befall us tomorrow, when things happen, like the little girl who runs into a branch in a tree and we get a knot, we know even in God's sovereignty, He is working good in our lives, those who are in Christ Jesus. And no matter what happens tomorrow, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Nothing will separate us from His love. All things work together for good. Those who are in Christ, all things work together for good. In the Old Testament examples, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers, and while he was a slave, he was put into prison by a false accusation. And yet, as a slave in prison, God brought him up to be the prime minister of the greatest powerful nation on earth during that time to save his family. And after his father, Jacob, died, his brethren came to him and said, please be merciful to us. And Joseph said, you meant me harm, but God meant it for what? Good. Meant it for good. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will continue to trust in God. And Jeremiah said, oh Lord, why did you allow me to see such destruction and devastation? Yet Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. And he worked good in their lives through the hardest things in life people can endure. God was working good, not just for them, but for all the people they were in contact with. He was working good through them. So all things work together for good. Who love God, it says. Who love God. We can face life and death unafraid because of the love of God. And it says He's working good for those who love Him. Now imagine with me, Donald Trump comes out on Fox News and says, I will adopt in my family everyone who loves me. And you will enjoy all the benefits of being one of my children if you love me. How many Americans would say they love Donald Trump then? Huh? How would Donald Trump know that everyone who said they love Donald Trump just to enjoy all the things that Donald Trump has, would he know that they really love him, or is it just because they're saying it because they want something from Donald Trump? So how do we know that we love God? How does God know we love Him? Well, God knows. He knows our heart. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said, follow me. So to love God, it's a lot more than come forward during some big conference or something like that and sign a card. It's a lot more to it. It's following Jesus. It's trusting and obeying. It's loving God. Love the Lord God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're loving Him with your being. But I tell you this, if you love something other than loving, if you put something before God, whatever it may even be your children. Please listen to me. If you put that before God, you're loving that more than you love God. But He's working good out for those who love Him. And you know if you love God more than anything. You know. You know if you're following Jesus or not. But we know that God's plan for you and I is so much bigger than any problem we have. Why? Because we love Him. We love Him. And also all things work together for good who are called according to His purpose. This word called in this phrase, this sentence, means to be appointed. So you're appointed according to His purpose. Now what is His purpose in your life? Jesus tells us that we are to be the salt and the light in this world. God has a purpose for you to be the salt and the light. His salt, His light in this world. That's your primary mission. You may have some other career, but even in the career that you're working in, you are the salt and the light. God has placed you there. He's working good in your life. You got that job. You got your health. You got everything you have because God gave it to you. Now you be the salt and the light where God placed you. You love Him more than anything else. That's God's purpose in your life. You don't have to read some book written by some preacher to tell you God's purpose in your life. You're the salt and the light where God placed you. And He's working good in your life who are called according to His purpose. Purpose means to openly display in this context. God is putting you on display for His purpose and His glory. For His design. Who are called according to His purpose. Called by God through Christ. Called by God through Christ Jesus. You see, your name may be on the computer, on Miss Brandy's computer, over there on Miss Brandy's desk in the church office. You may be in the Rolodex over there. But let me say something. If your name is in the computer on Miss Brandy's desk over in the church office, that doesn't give you salvation. By the way, that computer can become damaged. Catch me on a bad day, I may hit delete. I would... Catch her on a bad day, she might delete. Who are you talking about? No, we won't do that to you. I did think about it a few times. But just because you're on the hard drive on that computer, that if the electricity goes off, we can't even pull your name up. Or something may happen, a Hurricane Rita may come through and blow it away. Now listen to me, church membership is important. Please don't think I'm preaching against being a member of the church. Because we ought to love what Christ loves. He loves the church and gave himself for the church. But don't misunderstand, just because your name is over in the computer means you're saved. The word church means called out ones. Ecclesia, the born again, the called out ones. And if you're called out, you will follow Jesus. You will love Him if you're called out. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the spirits are in subjection to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And we ought to rejoice because of His great salvation. He has called us and gave us a purpose. We have more than a good dog's life. We are called by God. We are called His children because of what He did on the cross. Called out. Rejoice. Now as we read on here in Romans chapter 8, it says, He's working good together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. He foreknew. This means to know beforehand. Well, explain that to me, Pastor. I can't. He's God. I'm not. He's God. You're not. But I do know He foreknew you. He foreknew me. He is sovereign God. And when you think about such a great salvation by His grace, you can't help but worship Him and adore Him and love Him because He foreknew you. He knew Jeremiah before He even formed him in his mother's womb and called him to be a prophet to the nations before he was even knit together in his mother's womb. God knew Jeremiah. He knew Jacob. While the two boys were wrestling in their mother's womb, the prophecy was Jacob would be the blessed one. He would be blessed. He foreknew you and me. He's God. He is sovereign. He is in eternity, and He foreknew you. He also, it says, that those that He foreknew, He also predestined. This means to determine before. To determine before. And what has He determined before? That you and I to be conformed to the image of His Son Jesus. To be Christian. To be Christ-like. Little Christ. Being the salt and the light. Now if you think you should be conformed to a philosophy of man, He has not foreknew you. You're not following Jesus. A follower of Jesus will want to be conformed to the image of Jesus and nothing else. Please listen to me. If God has called you out, washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ, you will want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what He has predestined us to be. God has done it. And you know if you're being conformed to the image of Jesus or not. You know. He has predetermined this. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. This is something we can be confident in. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who's doing the work in you? Jesus is. God is. And He will complete it. And that work, He has predetermined, predestined you and I to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So you be Jesus where you're at, where God has placed you at every day. That's your purpose. It's predetermined. He has predestined you for this. And He will accomplish it. Also it says in Romans chapter 8 that those whom He predestined, He also called. This word called in this sentence means to call forth. The called out ones, the church, were called out from this world. We are to be different from this world. Why? Because God has called us out. We should live godly in this world. Why? Because God has called us out to be conformed to the image of His Son. And if you're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you're going to be different from the world. You'll be His follower. It's like when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus. The wording there that Jesus called forth and He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He has called you and I the same way as He called Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus came forth from the dead. You and I are dead in trespasses and sins. But when Jesus has called us forth, we are quickened. We are made alive in the Spirit. And only God can do that. He has called you to be alive in Christ. You can't do that yourself. That's why when we worship, we're worshiping a gracious, merciful, loving God who has called us from the dead to make us alive. You He has made alive, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. He has called us. Also, those whom He called, it says this, He also justified. Justified means righteous. He has done it. He has made you righteous in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Justified. You know the main meaning of this word justified? It means to be set right. Means to be right in the eyes of a holy God. And a word that describes that, please listen. The word innocent. The word innocent. None of us are innocent. We're all sinners. Whether it's a big sin or a little sin, we're sinners. And our death penalty is death. None of us are innocent. Even our thoughts are not innocent. But in Christ Jesus, because of His grace and mercy that He called us and predetermined us, He has made us innocent, not guilty. That's an awesome God, isn't it? That's a hallelujah. You cannot do that yourself. You should plead for the mercy of a loving God to be saved. Innocent. Forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him, speaking of Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. What a God we have. What a loving God that we have. Oh, that throws away all the pride that we may muster up and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving me. Justified by His blood. Forgiven because of His blood. Also those He justified. It says, these He also glorified. Glorified. We share in His glory. Someday, we will share in His glory. We will be in His light for all eternity. We will serve Him. We will dwell in His light, the light of the Lamb, in the new heaven and new earth. We will share in His glory. We are glorified. It's as good as done. Accomplished. God has done it. Glorified. If He starts with 100 sheep, He will end with 100 sheep. He may go out from the 99 and get that one wandering astray, but if He starts with 100 sheep, He's going to end with 100 sheep. That's security. And we know nothing will separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. We know. Nothing you can do except fall on His grace. You can't earn it. You can't do some sacrament to earn it. Nothing you can do except plead for His grace and mercy and ask for forgiveness. And He does it because He's an awesome God. We will be in His presence for all eternity. We will be glorified in His presence. Done. I heard a speaker this weekend that reminded me of the last words of Jesus on the cross. His last words as He was hanging on the cross, if you will remember, He said, "It is finished. It is finished." He was our Passover lamb. He was the Lamb of God. Those words, "it is finished," in His language is teletestai. And in the Aramaic language, it means it is paid. It's the meaning in Aramaic is like in a business transaction. And you pay the final amount that is owed. They write on that, teletestai, but in our English language, it is finished. That's how we interpret it. It is finished. It is accomplished. You see, Jesus on the cross paid it in full. That sin debt. And by His marvelous grace, amazing grace, His infinite grace, He has called us. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He has justified us. He has glorified us. Because He did it. So follow Him. If you're a follower of Jesus, you'll follow Him through baptism. You'll follow Him in church membership. We are the body of Christ. If you will follow Jesus, you will follow Him outside these walls. If you're a follower of Jesus. If you love God, you will. If you don't love God, you're here for some other reason. Sorry, it won't help whatever reason. It may help you with man, but it ain't helping you with God. You must enter in the covenant. And the covenant is between God the Father and God the Son. It is finished on the cross. and we enter in and we are secure in the covenant between God the Father and God the Son, that blood covenant. You can't enter in any other way. Won't you follow Jesus? Follow His mercy this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You as Your children, as the born again, those of us who've been called out. We are so secure that even when our feelings don't feel quite right, or we feel this way or that way, our trust and our love, our faith in You, Lord, gives us security that we know all things are working good for us because of You. Please, Lord, move during this invitation. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.